Yeah, we're going to run it for this season at least.
Okay, it's 2 o'clock. This is the March 10th meeting of the Charter and Committee Review Ad Hoc Committee. Charter and Code Review Ad Hoc Committee. Will you join me for a Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll go around the room with a roll call, and again, since we are taping the meeting, I'll ask you to use your outdoor voice and to say your name, and it'll start with...
Amy Bowl. Julie Johnson.
Debbie Knight.
David King.
Marcia Schick.
Bill Galbraith.
Thank you very much. The first item on the agenda is approval of the draft minutes. Hopefully you've all had a chance to review them. Do I have a motion to approve? And a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? In which case, I'll call the question. And all in favor of approving these, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That's unanimous. So that's good. Thank you, Julie. What I want to try and do in the next 2 hours is to go over, and so for the record, Monty just walked in, is to go over the set of three documents, the additional three documents that I sent out. I hope to work through the two shorter documents, and I have paper copies here if anybody needs them. I hope to work through the two shorter documents, but I want to start with a longer document with a table format, just so that you all understand what this document is, because we're going to be working on this at the next meeting or two as well.
David, do you have extra copies?
I do have extra copies, Dale. They're up here if you would like. So I only have copies of two of the three documents, but you're...
Okay.
I think, or maybe...
Yeah, that's a different format. So, is this where I want to go? Over?
Yeah. Well, that's the one we're going to talk about. So this is... Marcia, do you have... No. Okay. So this document is... essentially a compendium of all of the input that I received over the last two meetings, and includes some of my thoughts and includes my take on discussions that we've had in the last two meetings. So I think that this is kind of a complete, you know, aggregate of everything that we've talked about and are likely to talk about. If new stuff comes up to you, then we can certainly bring that in as well. So the first column introduces the section where these issues or items are addressed. In some cases it's a single section, and in some cases there are multiple sections, and I've tried to put all of the sections here, which isn't so much important for the discussion, but when we come to some decisions on possibly amending in one place, then I want to make sure that I know where else we have to make parallel changes. The second narrow column, of which there are some X's in the boxes and some there aren't, X's in the boxes indicate items that I think we will cover in the next two documents today. So maybe not fully, maybe not in all of the detail, but I mean, just so people get a sense that we're not just spinning our wheels, that we are in fact making some progress. The items with the X's are items that at least we're going to be addressing now, and hopefully the others we will address at the next meeting. So we all understand this document, and you're going to want to spend more time with this between now and the next meeting as well. So then I'd like to go to the document that's called CCR document March 10 major issues. And this is a 4-page document. And so my sense was that there are a number of major issues that we want to address, that we've discussed, we've gone around and around, and so I would like to walk out of this meeting understanding where there is a consensus amongst the committee members, and then I will use my understanding of that consensus to actually edit, to do draft edits of the document for the next meeting. Rather than sitting here and trying to wordsmith on a you know, flip chart or something. So this has some major discussion issues. This has some minor discussion issues that I don't think are controversial, but I want to make sure where people are on some of these things. So the first major discussion issue is structure of the government. And what I have been wrestling, at least on my own part, with is what does the charter do in terms of creating or enabling a town government? We've spent a lot of time talking about roles and responsibilities and relative authority amongst, you know, the mayor, the commissioners, the town manager, department heads. And so what does the charter do? And it dawned on me that basically all power is given to this entity that is called the Commissioners of Dewey Beach. And that they then delegate certain authority to the town manager and to the mayor. And for me, that helps understand how all the other pieces fit together. But if you have different thoughts about that or want to amplify that, yeah. I'd be willing to hear both from the commissioners present and from committee members any thoughts that you have on that. Because I think if we understand this, then everything else gets, you know, if we're on the same page with this, then everything else gets a little simpler.
I agree.
Okay. So the second bullet point on this, so I assume that you're all kind of in agreement with that as the philosophical underpinning of what we're doing today. So one of the comments was that the current form of town government seems to be a council manager form of government. And this was raised by Elaine in particular with a bunch of references and, was she, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds like, so a council manager form of government is a standard amongst lots of townships. And so you have a governing body being the Commissioners of Dewey Beach, who then hire a professional who is the city manager to deal with the daily administrative issues in the town. But the council, whatever, so the council then holds the legislative authority, also holds the, you know, the in aggregate, the powers of the town. It seems to describe how the town is governed today. It seems to fit with my idea of where we're going with this charter. Dale's shaking his head as if to say, yeah. Do we want to recognize in the charter the current form of, you know, this as the current form of government, possibly in Section 3? The only reason to do that is that it would make everything else easier to understand and more coherent, and I think that would be a good thing to do, but I'm willing to...
So I think absolutely, because when I'm just doing a quick look at other municipal governments. It's one of the first things that comes up in their charters. And I think it makes clear at the beginning what form of government we're operating on, which is kind of how everything flows from that form of government. So it would make sense, and I think the definitions of that form of government are pretty consistent and clear throughout most communities.
So, Marcia, do you want to take an action item and just send me one reference of a charter where it actually puts that language in? And, or I could use...
Does.
Yep.
Definitely so, one place. I think that's where I actually...
I mean, would it be appropriate to just basically embed the language that's here?
Well, I think before we do embedding, we should look at least two or three.
Right.
Okay, so would you two,
yeah.
Elaine and Marcia, get to...
Yeah, it wasn't Bethany. It was actually the municipality's website that's their association. It talks about the different forms of government. So I'll just find that and share it with you. Yeah.
Send a couple over.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we get to the commissioners of Dewey Beach. So they are defined, the body politic, and Julie, you're a lawyer, so help me understand body politic.
Okay, you realize I'm a criminal attorney.
well, that's why.
Dave, do you want to define, do you want to talk to us about body politic? And,
well, in this town, you're with a unique, shouldn't say unique, is it a town of 341 people or thereabouts, or is it
the town
a larger
of,
town?
It's a town of 3,000
citizens. Which gets back to my days on the voter
citizens.
Eligibility committee
yeah.
of Mayor Frederick. What is representative of the community that actually uses and enjoys Dewey Beach, and a warm summer night is very different than a rainy Tuesday in January. So, unlike Baltimore, you know, you don't have this, you know, so who are the constituents? Who gets to contribute, and how do you weight or whatnot? That you should have a representative form of government, well, representative of the body politic. So what's the body politic? Is it people? Is it buildings? Is it people that live here only a week or two or a month or two a year? Is it year-round? You know, that's been the discussion that I don't know there's any right or definitive answer to, but there are folks that have questioned whether or not these beach communities should have the voting citizenship based on property ownership as opposed to a residency requirement.
Okay, I guess my question was more the language of the charter constitutes a municipal corporation and body politic by and under the name of Commissioners of Dewey Beach, parenthetically, hereinafter referred to as the corporation or the town. So the charter, at least for me as a non-lawyer, seems to define the body politic as the town, and your point is that depending on who you want to include in that.
The famous example is we have owners at the surf club that are English citizens and only infrequently come to the United States to stay in their own unit. But they get the vote.
They get the vote. Okay, so we were going to come back to this again, but there is the, you know, so this creates a municipal corporation that they call the Commissioners of Dewey Beach. The charter vests power and authority in the Commissioners of Dewey Beach, and yet throughout the whole document it talks about commissioners, commissioners of Dewey Beach, town commissioners, town commissioners of Dewey Beach, and possibly one or two other terms referring loosely or ambiguously to
the body.
And often talks about the body as commissioners and talks about individual commissioners as commissioners. And one of the things that I would like to kind of do throughout the whole document is when we're talking about the body, to talk about commissioners of Dewey Beach and just use that term and make it clear. That then makes it, and when we're talking about individual commissioners, to talk about individual commissioners.
Is there a legal reason that the commissioners as a whole, or it's not called the town council, even though we refer to it, that I know that's not the legal?
You know, alternatively, so town council doesn't appear anywhere in the charter.
It's just used in every day.
Right, and Fred, when I was on planning and zoning, the town attorney told us that there is no town council. It's not a defined term.
Okay.
And we could define the body politic under the names of commissioners of Dewey Beach, hereinafter called the town council. And I'd be quite happy to do that. And that makes it easy to distinguish between
commissioners as a whole versus a commissioner.
Right. And as Fred, as the town attorney, told us at our first meeting, that individual commissioners really have no power.
Well, I think one of the things that's confusing is when you think about the plural and the singular, that commissioner speaks of a body of separate individual people, and a council refers to a body.
As a whole.
So
even though we may not be, town council as council may not be in the charter, it doesn't mean it should.
Well,
shouldn't be.
Well, my question is, should we put it in the charter?
That's what I'm saying. When I think of just singular plural in identifying something as a legal entity, the commissioners means a group of individual people that are identified as something, as opposed to the town council, with council being the primary word, which identifies a body which is made up of commissioners.
So would it be better to use town council or Dewey Beach town council? All right. This is the Dewey Beach town charter. Julie?
Oh, no, I think since it's the Dewey Beach town charter, I think putting the Dewey Beach town council is redundant.
So just town council.
Yeah.
So people, I think that moves us forward there.
And I'm just looking at something from... Yeah, that I brought up randomly from another government. It says it describes the body as the council is the legislative body.
Yeah, I mean, the core right of a member of the council is to vote. I mean, they've got duties of care, loyalty, and all that, but they individually
don't have any.
It's just one of five or seven, or
right,
whatever the number is, and that core exercise is the vote at a noticed meeting. Then you get into, well, some towns have a strong mayor form, and the mayor has powers that are set forth that are beyond that. We have a bit of that. Only the mayor can marry somebody, right?
It's also, I think in this document I'm looking at, it also reiterates what we just said, which was the council's the legislative body, but its members, which would be the commissioners, are the community decision makers.
Are they which decision makers?
Community decision makers. So it still recognizes the body as the council and the members, meaning the commissioners, which would be the membership.
I like the idea because we all agreed upon the second definition of the town, and this also starts kind of putting the council to say you are a council, you're not commissioner. So it's again, you're acting
as a body.
I think one of the problems that has occurred here, as well as other places, is you're over at 105 Rodney Street, and a couple of commissioners come in the morning and think this is a good idea and tell the town manager or whatever. And then that afternoon, three show up and say, don't listen to what you heard this morning. So you get down to having a council that speaks with one voice, having had a vote at a noticed meeting, and so that you have a clarity and a continuity of direction that's not conflicted, not, you know, and then you get into do you have all five council members talking to the town attorney?
Right, I think that's why we're here.
So yeah.
So that you know, you get to pay five bills for the same decision.
And this, I mean, when we get to the town attorney part of the charter, this will be an issue, I think, that also needs to be addressed, because in the past, individual commissioners have dealt with the attorney, and that's been a problem. So the last bullet point under commissioners of duty each is the delegation of authority and powers from the town council to the mayor and the town manager clear. I believe that the charter only delegates to those two entities. I believe, but I'm not 100% certain, that it only does so in sections 14, 16, and possibly 23.
Of the charter?
Of the charter. 14 is the mayor, 16 is duties of the town manager, and 23 is the enumeration of powers of basically of the council. I would like to think that those are the only places that delegation is discussed, and if it's discussed elsewhere, that we remove it and insert it, you know, somehow. If our goal is to simplify, that we move that language into the appropriate place in 16, 14, or 23.
That makes sense to me, too.
And I'm certainly glad to have comments from the commissioners here as well, if you have anything to say, because we don't want to... I don't want to waste a lot of our time if we're barking up the wrong tree, but
Gary and I might think one way, and Rios might think another. So.
Well, and that's fine.
Still, if it's individual comment.
That's fine.
But you're acting
as
commissioner.
You know that too. It's been known to happen.
So then we.
Are you under that town council thing?
Yeah.
Then you get into a discussion of quorum and all that. Does that come into that?
Well, there is a discussion of quorum someplace in here, and so yeah, we need to make sure that the charter calls for five commissioners on the town council, and so a quorum is three, unless one of them is absent. And well, anyway, the quorum is I think is okay in terms of the individual members. So the mayor. You know, again, we get into this issue. The mayor is called the chief executive. He's called she. The mayor is called the president of the commission. The mayor is called the presiding officer of Dewey Beach. I would like to, suggest...
Your suggestions are great, the presiding officer.
That we, you know... That it's the mayor, unless it's instructive to call the mayor the presiding officer of the town council, in which case, because that seems to be the really differentiating activity. And I don't know what it means to be president of a town. Okay. So, we've talked about term of office. Right now the mayor is a one-year appointment. There has been discussion about maybe it should be 2 years, or maybe the mayor should be elected. in and of itself, I don't really see us changing the charter one way or another, but I could see us making recommendations to the commissioners that maybe they should consider, you know, flagging this as an issue that they should consider in public hearings. Pardon?
Would be kind of difficult because you've only got 1 year left. TJ has got two, you know, the it's staggered. So if you said 2 years, somebody might only be in office for another year.
Yeah, personally, I would love to see mayor at least 2 years, but yeah. It is the way it's 3-2-3-2.
Personally, you'd rather have a mayor what?
Well, now that you're out, I'd like to have a mayor. Personally, I think any mayor should be a mayor for at least 2 years, but I don't know how to do it. In doing with the 3-2-3-2 elections, it doesn't really work.
Right, that's right.
I agree.
What I can tell you from my perspective is that there have been times where we've had four or five mayors and four or five town managers in the space of a half a dozen years. Mm-hmm. And that lack of continuity has not been good.
It's just no different. I mean, my argument is I'm the president of the Delaware Restaurant Association. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was doing for the first 8 months of the first term. Sitting here, did a great job, which I think I did. And, then, you know, it just takes a while. And, you know, again, I just don't know how to make it happen.
Well, I think one of the problems of conflict when you look at that is in our community and form of government, the mayor is appointed by his body of commissioners upon the conclusion of the election. In towns and jurisdictions where mayors have positions that are longer, they're elected as a mayor, they run as a mayor. So I think the difficulty is to say that you could have 1 year where a mayor wins an election but is not favored by his fellow colleagues. And I think you look at the appointments of the whole council can change in any given 12-month period, so that's sort of the problem.
That's a good point.
Right?
Because, like, I mean,
no!
This is something Dale knows a lot about, is that he would still be mayor.
Yeah.
But if it was 2 years. But the people that came in that were tied, they thought that they had a mandate.
I think when you have a mayor that is running as the position of mayor for election, it's a slightly different form of government.
So if we go back, we have decided that the mayor really is a figurehead.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
The mayor runs the council meetings, and the mayor signs.
The mayor sets the agenda.
The mayor
runs the council meeting. The mayor usually is the one that signs the check. The mayor is the
mayor can marry people.
And everybody usually agrees. Commissioners usually have a gentleman's agreement that they will let the mayor, unless it gets hot and heavy, they will let the mayor contact the attorney and do the dealing. They will let the mayor go to negotiate for the town in settlements, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
right, but that's the. I think that those are smaller powers, individual powers, than the mayor of D.C., for example, who is elected by the where the mayor is an elected position. The mayor generally has, I think, more power.
Mm-hmm. And it's a strong mayoral form of government.
Rather than,
this is a weak mayoral form of government for sure.
Right.
That we
with
have.
A strong mayor, it's not uncommon for them to determine how many committees will exist and who will be on those committees. That kind of thing.
Right. Well, the mayor still has that.
Here the mayor nominates and the commissioners agree or disagree.
Yeah.
They usually go along with that.
What's the time frame for the town manager? How long will he be? Normally, does he have a contract for a year, or does he have a contract?
So the question is, what is the contract for the new town manager? And in the past, did Applebaum have a contract?
Yeah.
So it was 5 years? Or
that was a fraud issue at one time. He was working without a contract for a while. Wasn't
how long was that deal?
Yeah.
Well, the question is, what's the contract for the new mayor?
The present contract, it's a contract, but it goes technically, I'll say, against the charter. The charter says the person can be removed with just cause. The contract says you have a certain period of time, and then maybe which 3 years for this new guy, and then it may be renewed for 2 years after that. So if you go to fire somebody, or if you want to get rid of somebody, that you know you have to deal with the charter that says just cause, and you have to deal with a contract that may or may not be ruled invalid.
But we can change the charter. I mean, we're in the process of amending the charter, so we might change the charter. But the terms of the current contract,
3 and 2.
Can the 2 years be denied without cause?
Yes, according to the contract.
Yes.
And at the end of the
extension, the 2 years
have to be renewed. I mean, the town manager could probably stay in that position if he wanted to, but he wouldn't get paid.
So
that's an executed contract now? It's all done?
Yeah.
So the mayor can be removed with just cause at any time. I'm sorry, the town manager with just cause at any time. And at the end of 3 years, without cause.
We don't tell him ahead of time that we're not going to renew. It automatically renews. If we tell him ahead of time we're not going to renew, then it does not renew.
But doesn't the contract also say for just cause? I mean, usually a lawyer won't put that in.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It does.
It tries to define just cause.
So.
Well, my point is there any thought that maybe the mayor and the town manager should be running together?
The mayor is elected by, I mean, they have different functions and, they're put in office by different, well, they're both put in office by the town council.
How does the town council do that? Do they vote amongst themselves? Like
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with popular vote or anything.
No, no. The town manager isn't appointed by the town council.
Employee.
He's an employee.
I would agree with Marcia's point that if it stays with the commissioners picking the mayor, there's no feasible way to do more than a year at a time.
Yeah, okay.
This is more common sense than, to me, it just feels like this town is always having an election, always having change, always, and it's just...
Okay. Removal, so one of the issues, Ray...
Before you go on from that, can I say, I think some of the historic issues with, like Dale said, we have a gentleman's agreement that, you know, the mayor nominates, we, in general, respect that. But I think that other communities, and I'm just going through a couple that I'm looking at.
We don't have a gentleman's agreement that he nominates. We have a gentleman's agreement that he'll deal with the various things. He nominates.
Right.
The charter says he nominates and we...
The members. But I think some of the issues we've had in the past historically, and they go back forever, is because we have a council, meaning body, council manager form of government, and we have commissioners that aren't elected by jurisdictions or constituencies. They're elected at large. And that they all seem to have the same power, with the mayor having far fewer, more specific powers, like to marry, to set the agenda of the meeting. And if that's not in there, the mayor has the power, or should have the power, to set the agenda of the meeting.
Right.
It's in there.
If I could just read, this is just a couple sentences, and I think... It's really interesting to think about it, because it delegates the voice of the body through the mayor versus everybody being able to go out and speak on behalf of the town as representative, which is not always a good thing, because in my opinion, I think the leader of the town or the mayor should be the representative voice of the body. I think it's very confusing when 5 different commissioners are out being having different representative voices when they're not elected by a particular constituency.
Can you give me an example of
that? Okay, so this is
a problem.
I think this is a nice description from this charter. It's in Georgetown, Texas, and I just happened to pull it up with a mayor, council manager form of government. Mayors and council manager communities are key political leaders. In the case of the council, the mayor is responsible for soliciting citizen views, informing these policies, and interpreting them to the public. The mayor presides at council meetings, serves as a spokesperson for the community, facilitates communication and understanding between elected and appointed officials, assists the council in setting goals and advocating policy decisions, and serves as the promoter and defender of the community. In addition, the mayor serves as a key representative in intergovernmental relationships. The mayor, council, and manager constitute a policy development and management team. And it sort of sets the mayor aside to say the mayor is the spokesperson. The mayor brings the body together. And I think it would, if we focus on something that more clearly defines that, it would eliminate sort of some of the chaos of who gets to go out and do what on behalf of the town. And then there's a lot of different
opinions. I didn't know that was an issue.
Well, yeah, sure there are, because we just discussed that, you know, it was mentioned that different commissioners are going down to town hall and delegating what they want done, and I think it's because there's no real sort of close order of what the mayor's responsible as the leader of the body.
I don't know if that language is exactly right for Dewey, but I like it.
But
I mean, I like a lot of the sense
sort of
it.
Except for the word politics.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, just to develop some continuity of the body and, you know, the mayor being the leader of the body with the representative voice of the body. But it's just, there's a couple we can explore. And
so why don't you
sort of
get me some language like that? I mean, I would be certainly willing to find a place in the charter for the language. I think it goes a lot to fleshing out the position of the mayor and how that's different from the commission position of other commissioners.
And I think what's important is, I think when you have a body, you need to have a clear leader of the body and define what that means. But in Dewey Beach, it goes no further. It does not extend to anything in voting powers, that all commissioners by charter have the same voting rights and the mayor doesn't have the right to veto. So I think what I'm trying to say is that we come to some better articulation of what the leadership role of the mayor means outside of voting powers.
I think that's good.
Yeah. The only thing that I'm thinking about is, and maybe I'm thinking on a different topic, I think the issue that you're talking about makes sense, but how about, are you talking about in any way limiting the commissioners, individual commissioners, to, not the council, but to have access to, say, if they want to speak to the press on an issue, because they are politicians, even though they're volunteers, and they do have different points of view. Are you saying that putting in the charter that you have only the mayor can speak to the press?
Well, from my perspective, from my perspective, there's two issues. It's the individual commissioners speaking to their constituents, which is different from somebody speaking for the council as a body. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I used to chair the Planning Commission, I always felt that it was my responsibility to speak for the Planning Commission's decisions, whether I agreed with them or not, because that was the decision of the body. Whereas individual members of the Planning Commission could go off and say whatever they wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they would say the body voted this way, I felt, I like minority opinions or something. So I think we could work with that. I don't think that this prohibits individual.
No, and I think it has to be better or more specifically looked at to find a comfortable space for Dewey Beach.
But
I think, I think the mayor should have some kind of articulated leadership role and responsibilities that's articulated as the leader of the body.
If I may, once that's done, we have two mayors in the room. I'd like to ask a question. Do you think it's a better idea for a mayor to be a one-year mayor, or would it be better to have some continuity as a two- or three-year mayor, different than the commissioners? Just thoughts.
I kind of like the organizational meeting the way it goes, and an opportunity to reset if necessary. So I don't agree with that.
I was amazed to gasp, really more than amazed to gasp, that the town would be able to change mayors every year. But once I figured it out that you have to be elected a commissioner, you have to get the townspeople behind you. To be elected mayor, you have to get the commissioners, the town commissioners behind you and want to work with you. Mm-hmm. So that forced you to work with your fellow commissioner. Even though you could have a lack of continuity, usually. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, the two-year term is an issue to begin with, because if you so desire to be the mayor, you had a two-year term as mayor, you're not going to get the chance.
How about we make it a three-year term as mayor, and he's the biggest, instead of the commissioners elect him, he's the highest vote getter. Doesn't run for mayor per se, but whoever ends up with the...
Well, but then you have the people...
You can't do that, because each year, if you have 2-3-2-3, then you can't do that way. You'd have to have all five commissioners voted the same year in order for that to work. And that might be something because then you're right. Then the highest vote getter becomes the mayor.
For making a 3-year term for everybody.
Right. It's something to consider.
It's only a thought.
I think to some extent that this year was a good example of, I think this year was a good example of maybe this discussion that there was an election that was driven by a certain set of politics that got one group of new commissioners voted into office, and the sitting mayor was on the other side, and to some extent it was a referendum against the sitting mayor, to some extent, whatever.
Ooh.
She lost. That was but, the only.
Well, you know,
he just meant you sitting over there in the audience. That's all he meant.
You know, so
the mayor over there that's sitting.
I don't mean it.
But you know, so if you then had the former mayor continuing for a year, there would be. You know, there would be issues.
And also, it works that people's terms do go longer anyway. Look at Diane. She was a mayor for, 7 years? So it works. I think the system's working pretty well.
Yeah.
You become a mayor, or some might go in the other direction. Maybe they think she shouldn't have been the mayor for 7 years.
That's cool.
Okay, I think we...
What I'm looking at is the town manager and the relationship with the town council, and there's no continuity.
Separation of powers.
And if we want to do that, then it would require us to change to a strong mayoral form of government where the mayor is elected, and then once the mayor is elected in that form of government, they generally have the power to fire the town manager because it's a new
politics.
Administration and hire.
We're always going to have that for all the same years with the same mayor and town manager forever and ever and ever.
He's going, isn't he?
I want to go back to this issue of removal of the mayor and replacement.
Where are you?
It's a second bullet under mayor. I think my brain skipped over this. I sense that there is currently no provision for removal of mayor. Some thought was we should put in something about removal of the mayor. There was some thought that by the time the mayor proves to be ineffective or whatever, the year's over anyway, and it's a new election and an opportunity to, you know, it's just a year, so that there's no reason to. So you all seem to be shaking and saying there's...
Yeah, because I think when you look at something like that, you have a one-year position. Let's just say, by example, the mayor's in there 3 months and has failed to keep his promises to his fellow commissioners or whomever. And then you have a month to notice something that they want to remove the mayor. And then there's all kinds of due process issues that the mayor has to be heard at a public hearing. And by the time you do this, while it might seem... It just seems like it would take away from the real important things that business that needs to get done in the town.
Okay.
The mayor can be removed by his commissioners at the next organizational meeting, and those commissioners can be removed by not voting them back in. And that.
Okay. In fact, the mayor can cease to be mayor for a number of reasons. If the mayor moves, if the mayor is no longer a resident, for example, if the mayor dies. There is, I believe, nothing in the code. there is nothing in the code about replacing a mayor.
You mean the process?
I don't mean removing. I mean, if the mayor is no longer...
Good catch.
If the mayor no longer is the mayor...
Right. Well, it is in the code.
In the middle of the term.
Pardon? Yeah.
Can I just say the commissioners elect one of their own?
Yeah, I would just say it.
It's a commissioner part of the
too. Yeah, but you would also have a vacant seat on the council now, and I think you have to look at this in combined with the fact that the charter does articulate the replacement of a commissioner, which is, it is appointed by, within the council. And I think that brings to question, which was one of my questions as I went through it, is that something we should look at? Does it work? Or should a vacancy on the council be a special election? Because that person was got into office by election. And if somebody leaves after, like as in the case of Commissioner Danaher, she left after 6 weeks. And she was elected, you know, I think there was no one running. But in all fairness, you've got a representative of your community who now is going to be appointed versus a lot of communities hold a special election if they are elected officials.
It's good enough for this, the House, mm-hmm. U.S. House, it's good enough for us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do. They appoint someone to fill out their term. By the time you hadn't ran an election, you know, had a special election, you know, what if the term was, like you said, 6 months?
Well,
or 2 months.
That's a good point.
The thing I would ask you to remember is that have we had severe problems with it? Has there been any real issues that have been problems with it? No. I mean, the way it's been going has worked.
So, so it's not broke, don't fix it.
So an answer would be, if there's a vacancy at the mayor's position, the town council will appoint one of the sitting commissioners.
Just as a commissioner, and then they'll vote.
As a mayor.
The mayor, though.
Right. And if there's a vacancy in the commissioner.
And if there's a vacancy on the town council, that vacancy will remain a vacancy through the term.
Well, I think that Elaine said.
What I'm saying is that if you look at them again as individual commissioners, one dies and he happens to be the mayor, and you appoint someone, that person's not going to be the mayor, they're just going to be a commissioner, and then the commissioners will vote because the mayor's gone on who's going to be the mayor.
Yeah. You fill the seat first as a commissioner.
See, I think it should be the other way around. I think if something happened to the mayor, the four commissioners remaining should decide who the next mayor is going to be. And then, then once there's a new mayor in place, then they would decide on who a commissioner would be appointed to finish the term.
Because it's immediate.
That makes more sense. Because they've been, all four of those commissioners remaining after the mayor's gone have been elected. So they have some more authority than, so what if we decide, the four commissioners appoint someone, and then the four commissioners go, oh, we want that person to be mayor too. Well, that person's never been elected. Mm-hmm. To the town, by any the person in the town. So I think it should go in the reverse order.
Okay. So if we're going to...
TJ just said something.
I have a dumb question. In the absence of the mayor in a typical town meeting, the secretary would sit in, correct?
Yes. President pro tem.
Wouldn't that be the...
The secretary is the next person. They fill the seat.
It says if the mayor's not present, the president pro tem...
Well, who is the president pro tem?
Oh, well, that's a good question, isn't it?
Not well defined.
But that's what the charter
says. The officer is the secretary.
The charter says in the case of the mayor's absence,
I understand what it says.
The president pro tem.
The only other elected, only other chosen officer by the commissioners is the secretary.
And that's one of the issues to
so
be.
So if something happens to the mayor, you say the secretary should step into that?
That's what happens.
That's what has happened over the years.
But only for that meeting.
Right. And in this particular case, if something happened to the mayor, and we had six more months of meetings to go, the secretary could sit in that role. And that's just...
As the mayor?
As the chair.
As the presider of the town council.
The meeting where the first order of business is decide who is going to be the chief officer, executive.
How does the secretary become the secretary?
We vote...
Okay. And unless, of course, it's the town manager is the secretary.
Yeah, but not of the commission.
The town council.
Not clear.
So you vote for the mayor and the understudy.
The secretary.
Right.
So what I'm saying.
So the first job of that secretary,
other than writing the minutes,
is to fill the shoes of the mayor for the balance of the term, or to immediately go into a deliberative session where you figure out who is going to function as the replacement mayor. Sounds like the second.
We as a committee, as a group rather, vote for the mayor and secretary. We as a group accept that the secretary will take the mayor's place. The mayor either steps down during the meeting for that meeting, or is incapacitated for that meeting, or can't show up at that meeting.
Right.
If the mayor were to quit, we would vote for a new mayor.
So let me pull on this thread.
The presiding officer at that vote would be that secretary.
So I want to back off a little and then come back to this. So the mayor moves out of town. The four commissioners, remaining commissioners, pick one of them to be a mayor. And then we are left with a situation where there are four members of the town council, and I didn't get a good sense of whether we left that vacancy a vacancy for the rest of the year.
I'm
sorry, I'm saying that now. Where in the charter does it say anything at all about filling that position?
I believe it says...
Didn't they appoint one when Ellen stepped down, the commissioners appointed.
Well, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. It's what does the charter currently say? And I guess that's going to be so I guess I have to look for that. But your feeling is that the four members of the council would appoint a member of the public
to fill the vacancy. Which what Julie said I thought was good, that they first voted for the mayor.
Right. Okay, now I want to go back to this issue of secretary, because there are two places where the charter talks about the secretary, and one of them is elected by the town council, the members of the town council, and in the other place it's the town manager. And the president pro tem, who one could read the charter to believe that if the mayor were to become unavailable to be mayor either for a meeting or for an extended period of time, the president pro tem serves all the functions of the mayor in addition to presiding over the council meeting. That's how I read the charter, and that's clearly not how some people in this room think things should work. And so I think we have an opportunity to clarify the language. If you went through all of the stuff that we had for today, one of the suggestions was to define the president pro tem as the secretary of the town council, which kind of solves that problem, or to define the function of the secretary at some point within the charter.
The secretary may happen to be someone who's a better scribe than, and you have to look at their volunteers too. Does he want to get dumped into all that, or should they stop, take a look, and the town council decide what they're going to do to fill the mayor's spot? I don't know that we should write it hard that the secretary moves into that spot. He may not want to, or he or she. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean,
but we do have this issue of, I mean, the charter talks about president pro tem.
Right.
But it doesn't say.
It doesn't sound like it really exists.
And the charter also says
in practicality,
the mayor has to be a resident of the town. And a residential commissioner, and the secretary is not.
That's a good point.
And I think there's another issue with that, Dale, because if two commissioners have to be residents of the town, and the mayor that leaves, well, I guess there's not, because it would leave just that. If it's going to be a vote of the four, it's going to leave that resident of the town being
easy to.
There'll be no choice. Yeah. Sure.
So, Martha, thank you for that comment.
Does there need to be?
So, should the charter say that if the mayor leaves, the council picks one of their members to be the mayor.
It doesn't have to be a resident.
Does that person have to be a resident? I think the answer is yes.
Does it have to be a resident?
I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
At this point.
So if you started with two residents.
So essentially, if the mayor leaves or is no longer there, by default, the other resident commissioner becomes the mayor.
Then when they appoint a citizen, that citizen has to be a resident.
That's correct.
Yeah, it has to be, because otherwise there would be no alternative for another mayor, just in case something happens.
Isn't that three resident commissioners?
Two.
David, you asked about where the commissioners shall still apply. Section 7, B, I guess, in case of vacancy created in any office of Commissioner of Dewey Beach or in the office of Commissioner of Dewey Beach having the title of Mayor of the Town of Dewey Beach, either by death, resignation, loss of residence, or freeholdership in the Town of Dewey Beach or other qualifying or other commissioners shall, Dewey Beach shall fill such vacancy for the residue of the whole town.
Thank you. And that clearly now needs some work. I mean, I said that needs a little work. I mean, she'll fill. There's a process, and there might there might be a requirement for
a regular commissioner.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
But it is interesting what you're talking about, because if you have to elect the only one that's left, and you don't change it to say that it's open to everybody if
it's already on the commission.
If it's already on. You may have, as you all know, there's some people as commissioners you're like, definitely would want that guy to be mayor because he doesn't do the work, you know, and you have no way to get rid of him. Right? Isn't that kind of true? In a sense, we've never had that issue, but if you were just stuck with the one person who maybe in all the years, I'm sure there's examples of people that didn't do work, and you had that person had to be the mayor,
They're the only resident left.
There's nothing you could do. Yeah. I mean, there's no way to work around that.
Okay. Well, with the charter, there is.
Again, are we trying to create? No, are we trying to create a whole new charter?
No,
the best things we can, or are we just trying to correct some problems that are really problems?
A living document.
Both.
Okay,
I want to. It's now 3 o'clock.
You have to anticipate.
Can I just say there? I think there's just one minor problem in this. What Dale pointed out in B and fill in the vacancy, because if it's, you know, so it, they'll be appointed by the commissioners, obviously, of course, by a vote in public vote, but you have 4 commissioners, so that vote could be 2-2.
Then it's a flip of a coin.
I mean, you just need to articulate what happens if the vote's 2-2.
If the commissioners can't decide on a mayor, they pick by lot, and so here it's by
okay.
So but that's a good point. That's a good catch. Okay.
We should put in there that the mayor has to jump in the ocean on
whoever's president.
Okay, town manager.
Well, can I just get some number C, if any elected appointed officer agent.
7C.
Yeah, we're right below. 7C. I just of clarification, if any elected or appointed officer agent or employee. Be found, first of all, there's a grammar issue there. Be found guilty. It's really, in my opinion, looking forward, it should, I think, read employee is found to have been or is found. So that means it precludes an elected official from running if they've been found guilty of a felony. So we need to make sure that it says, if they're already elected and they're to have been found in the past to have a felony conviction, or also in the future, they can be removed for backwards or forwards looking acknowledgement of that.
Okay.
Well, because that could easily be put in the Section 5. Where it's the qualifications of the commissioner, of the mayor and commissioners. That should be, you're just qualified for being.
Yeah, but it's not talking about qualification, it's talking about a method of removal. So, I think C.
You're an officer, you're a commissioner, and you get found guilty of felony theft.